Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Go forth and live. And as you know, the inspiration for this series has been Michelangelo's The Creation of Adam. That is a masterpiece. They don't make art like that anymore. I mean, there's still good art out there, and there are talented artists, and some of you are pretty decent artists yourselves, but what goes for art today would not cut it back in the 16th century. Maybe you saw this story, and I'm not making it up. It just happened 2 weeks ago. There was an art display somewhere, I think it was New York, but I'm not sure about that. There was a piece of art, and all it was a banana taped to the wall with duct tape. Did you see that? $120,000. A banana taped to the wall with duct tape. $120,000. And that's what passes for art today. But that's not the funniest part of the story. The funniest part of the story was some kid was walking along and he was hungry. He pulled the banana off the wall and ate it. That's a pretty expensive breakfast. So I guess I had to run to the grocery store and grab another banana. That's funny. Michelangelo knew what he was doing. Creation of Adam. If you're ever in Rome, go to the Sistine Chapel and check it out. But someone did draw my attention to some parodies of the creation of Adam, so I thought I would share the ones that I could share with you in public. There's a lot that I can't share, but here's the first one. That's pretty cool. Some of you are Muppet fans. Next one. That's the original pizza delivery right there. Next one? Okay. No political jokes. No political jokes. Let's go to the next one. That wouldn't surprise me if it showed up on a mural somewhere here in Springfield, Oregon. Oh, my goodness. Okay, next one. That one's pretty cool. I guess it's their way of saying Superman created Batman. Next one. Next one, which is my favorite. You're not you when you're hungry, so have a Snickers. The creation of Adam. I look at that and I try to put myself in Michelangelo's position as he was painting that for 4 years, and the words that just scream at me are, go forth and live. God created us to be alive, to be fully alive, to live, to experience all the blessings that He has for us. And as a people of faith, as people who believe in Jesus Christ, who promises eternal life, we of all people should be fully alive and have purpose day in and day out as we live our lives. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. I want to read to you the first 12 verses of this psalm. This psalm is an interesting psalm because if you didn't know you were reading out of the book of Psalms, it would seem like you were almost reading out of the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a little bit of a philosophical drudgery here. And yet, the reality of it is, this is life. And so I want to use this particular passage to close out this series to really get us to thinking about the gift of life and really how numbered our days are. We all had a birthday, and we will all have a death day. And it's not my intent to be morbid today. We don't want to be morbid, and yet we do want to face the reality of life. Psalm chapter 90, beginning at verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning, though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. And this is the verse I want us to meditate on today and all week. Teach us to number our days. That's the title of the message today. Number our days. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Oh God, there's a lot here to think about and meditate on and contemplate. These passages of Scripture help us think about things that maybe perhaps we don't really want to think about, things such as your wrath and indignation, but also our own mortality, and that our time here on this earth is fleeting, it's passing. And every day that goes by is a day we will never get back. Every moment that we squander is a moment we will not receive again. And so, Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to make the most of our days. Teach us to live and to be fully alive and to seize every moment, to make the most of this incredible gift that you've given us. My heart breaks, God, when I see people who squander their life. Life, the greatest gift that we've been given. Lord, help us not to squander this gift, but to make the most of every opportunity and to make the most of every day that we have been given. Thank you, God, for the gift of life. I thank you for the youngest person here in church today and the oldest person here today. Life is a gift from beginning to end. May we make the most of this precious gift you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Someone has done the calculations, and I thought I'd share it with you. If you live to be 70 years old, as the scriptures say here, that, you know, if you have the strength, you may make it to 70, possibly 80. We know Lorena's going to make it to 100 and beyond. But the average person, 70, 80, if you live to be 80, on average, this is how you're going to spend your life. You're going to spend about 20 years and 3 months sleeping. That's a big chunk of your life, sleeping. If you live to be 70, on average, you're going to spend about 10 years and 5 months watching TV. It could be more than that. I'm sure it is. If you live to be 70, on average, you're going to spend about 7 years and 6 months eating and drinking as you sip on your coffee. If you live to be 70, On average, you're going to spend about 5 years and 9 months in your car or in some type of transportation. If you live to be 70, on average, you're going to spend your life, 18 months of it, waiting in line, and 6 months at red lights. And you know what's kind of alarming to me is that there are those people who will spend more of their life, if they make it to 70, sitting at red lights than they will thinking about the direction of their life and matters of deep importance, such as faith, purpose, eternity, things that matter the most, things that the Scriptures draw our attention to. As you can see, life is fleeting. Life is like a vapor. The entire book of Ecclesiastes is about that. That's why I think when I read Psalm chapter 90, I'm almost reading the book of Ecclesiastes. Life is like a vapor. We're here today, gone tomorrow. And those moments that we wish we could have back, we won't get back. And so we need to make the most of every day. I thought of an acronym this week to try to close out this series, to try to encourage us to really seize hold of this gift of life. And I thought of the word pride. P-R-I-D-E. I want us to have pride in our lives. Not a hubristic kind of pride, not an egotistical kind of pride. There's too much of that narcissism in our world today. But a healthy pride. It's a pride that says, God has given me this gift of life and I'm going to seize it and I'm going to live and I'm not going to squander any more of my life. Yesterday morning, Renee and I were able to FaceTime with our grandbaby. She's 8 months old. This was right before her nap time, so there were moments there where she would, you know, rub her eyes and yawn, but most of our time was spent her just wiggling and looking at the camera and learning to scoot back and forth. And she's an active baby, and Caleb and Krista are going to have their hands full because she's going to start crawling and walking here soon. But as I watched her, as I do most babies, there's an innate desire to just move and wiggle and explore and discover and live. And rightfully so. There's this innate desire that God puts within us to go forth and live and be and discover who you are and discover this incredible world that we have. So we need to have pride in this gift of life that God has given us. And I've taken the word pride, P-R-I-D-E, and I've put a word with each letter to help us have a sense of direction and a sense of pride as we live our lives. And so for P, I think we need to think of the word personal. That you are responsible for your life. No one else can live your life for you. God has given you your life. Your distinct traits, your distinct characteristics, your makeup, your DNA, your likes, your dislikes. You are your own person. So seize who you are. Appreciate how God has created you. Don't ever stop discovering who you are as a person. I've only recently discovered this thing called the Enneagram. And I've discovered that I'm a number 5. And that has opened up a whole new world for me to help me understand, oh, that's why I do this, and that's why I do that, and that's why I act this way in this situation. So this process of discovery, for me anyway, hasn't stopped. I'm still learning about who I am, but when I also discover the different other types, it helps me understand you better. And why you act the way you do, or don't act the way you do, or respond the way you do, or don't respond the way you do. So I think the P in pride stands for personal. This is your life. Take ownership of it. Take care of it. Live your life to the fullest. Get rid of stuff in life that bogs you down. and focus on those things that point you to God and point you to be productive. This is your life. No one can live it for you. There are times we want other people to live our lives for us. I get that. But that's not how life works. I'm going to share with you the most well-known verse in all the Bible, and you can probably recite it with me. It's John 3:16. But what's interesting about this verse that I'm going to recite to you, for God so loved the world, say it with me if you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. It's the most well-known verse in all the Bible, for good reason. It's an incredible verse. But what's interesting about that verse is that it was a personal conversation that Jesus was having with Nicodemus at night. It was a one-on-one conversation. Nicodemus had heard about this Jesus, and he was a Pharisee. He was a highfalutin religious person. He took pride in the fact that he sought to adhere to all the Mosaic law of the Old Testament. But he had heard about this Jesus and wanted to know more, and so he went to Jesus at night because he didn't want his fellow Pharisees to know that he was talking with Jesus. And in that conversation, and it's all there in John chapter 3, how cool would it have been to be Nicodemus, to have Jesus look you in the eye and say those words to you personally? You see, your life is your life. And how you choose to live is your decision. Believe in Jesus. Trust him. Follow him. And the promise is life and life eternal. So go forth and live. The R stands for relational, which is kind of on the opposite spectrum. So yes, your life is your life, and yet we cannot live life in isolation. We must live life to the fullest in a relational context. What does the Bible say about marriage? It is not good for man to be alone. 2 weeks from today, I'm going to start a four-part series on marriage because our culture has all kinds of crazy ideas about what marriage is. But the bottom line is, it's not good for us to be alone. And if you're not married, that's okay. You can surround yourself with a group of people that are going to build you up. Church is a great way to have those relational connectedness that we need to be able to lift us up and help us through life. And so, yes, life is personal. Your life is your own. But life was never meant to be lived in isolation. When you look at the early church in the book of Acts, the early chapters of Acts, it talks about how they were all together. They worshiped together. They ate together. They gave their attention to the apostles' teachings together. There was no such thing as solitary religion. Life was done. Their faith was conducted in community. And so if we're going to go forth and live, if I'm going to be the best version of John I can be, I need you to help me along the path. Now, some of you are naturally bent in that way. You're just relational creatures, and that's just how you are. Others of us, maybe we prefer our solitude. It doesn't matter where you're at on the spectrum. We all need each other. I don't know if you saw on the news just a couple days ago that there was a new memo put out by the new Surgeon General, Health and Human Services, for immediate release, May 3rd, 2023. New Surgeon General advisory raises alarm about the devastating impact of the epidemic of loneliness and isolation in the United States. Today, the United States Surgeon General released a new Surgeon General advisory calling attention to the public health crisis of loneliness, isolation, and lack of connection in our country. Even before the onset of COVID-19, approximately half of U.S. adults reported experiencing measurable levels of loneliness. Disconnection fundamentally affects our mental, physical, and societal health. In fact, loneliness and isolation increases the risk for individuals to develop mental health challenges in their lives, and lacking connection can increase the risk for premature death to levels comparable to smoking daily. If we think social media connects us, it really doesn't. We need that interpersonal connection, that relationship, to help us fully live. The I in pride, I think, should stand for inspiring. Seek to live an inspiring life. Seek to live your life in a way that inspires others. I have good friends of mine from college who have a child of theirs just graduate from Tribeca Nazarene. And so they, this last weekend, flew to Nashville for the graduation of their child, which is a great event. But that's not what caught my attention on my friend Leanne's post. What caught my attention was this picture. This is Herman, and he works for the car rental company. And he made such an impression on her as they went to rent their car that she posted about it and said, "Herman, his attitude made us feel so welcome. He took great care of us, and he loves his job." And you can just see on his face the smile and his zeal and zest for life. And I'm not going to say that he is just a car lot attendant. I'm not going to say that, because his job is as important as anyone else's job. But what he does for a living, he takes such joy in what he does that he makes his customers feel inspired and special and important. It reminds me of that verse in 1 Corinthians 10:31. "So whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God." Live your life in such a way that you inspire and bless others. So be like Herman. Live your life as an inspiration and a blessing and a joy to others. Not to take a downturn, but the D in pride, I think, stands for dust. If we look at our passage again in Psalm chapter 90, in verse 3, dust. "You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust." It's a reminder to us that our days are numbered. We don't get to live forever on this side of eternity. Someday, we will return to dust. Make the most of every day you have. Every day you spend feeling sorry for yourself is a day you're not going to get back. So make the most of it. And then the E in pride stands for eternal. We should not just focus on ourselves and our own mortality, but our focus constantly needs to be to the eternal God, who, as we read in Psalm 90, "God, you are from everlasting to everlasting." And so ultimately our hope is in Him, right? He is the eternal God. He is the everlasting God. And as we put our hope in Him, as we live our lives daily for Him, He promises us eternal life. So live with pride. Our days are numbered. Let's make the most of every day we have. We can start by numbering our days by keeping track of the days of the week, right? We have 7 days in the week. This was not original to me, but I want to share it with you. That without the Lord in our lives, without this eternal perspective, and without focusing on Him, our days of the week are as follows. Instead of Sunday, it's sin day. Instead of Monday, it's mourn day, M-O-U-R-N. Tears day. Instead of Wednesday, it's waste day. Instead of Thursday, it's Thirsts Day. Instead of Friday, it's Fright Day. And instead of Saturday, it's Shatter Day. That's what our days of the week are like without the Lord. Sin Day, Mourn Day, Tears Day, Waste Day, Thirst Day, Fright Day, Shatter Day. What I did is I made my own list. Because with the Lord, we have Sing Day. That's what Sundays are for. We're here to sing our praises to the Lord. Sing Day. With the Lord, we have Meditate Day. We meditate on the Word of God every day. With the Lord, we have Trust Day. We put our trust and our hope in Him. With the Lord in our lives, we have Witness Day. We can witness of God's goodness in our lives every day. With the Lord in our lives, we have Thanks Day. We give thanks to God for His many blessings. With the Lord in our lives, we have Forgive Day. We can forgive others even as God has forgiven us. And with the Lord in our lives, we have Serve Day. I'm going to serve the Lord all the days of my life as He helps me to live. Go forth and live. Make the most of this amazing gift that God has given us. Of all the people in Lane County, we should be the most alive, the most grateful, the most blessed, and the most inspiring to people that we come across, because God calls us to live. Amen? Yes. We're going to partake in Holy Communion. And one of the significant things that we do in Holy Communion is we literally take the bread and we put it in our mouth, and we take the juice and we drink of it, and we reenact the eating and the drinking. As Christ says, whoever eats and drinks of me will have life. And so we partake of Holy Communion because in this very symbolic way, we are receiving from God the nourishment that Christ gives us that allows us to live. And then we receive from Christ His life, His power, His presence within us that gives us everything we need to live, to go forth and live, and to make the most of every day that He gives us.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.